Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. Take these words, God, today as they're delivered through your servants and quicken them to the hearts of the hearers so they'll have the benefit of knowing you deeper, getting a revelation of the word of God, God, and coming to a place of actually being edified by God, built up in their most holy faith, and not discouraged, but encouraged. But first of all, God, to be encouraged, you got to get in. What we're warning people about, God, is, hey, you got to get in first to grow. Don't hang around pretending to be saved. Get in. Get on the bus. Get going. Get moving to grow in grace. God, change the mindsets of people that are walking around in these comatose conditions that have been led astray by the delusions of religion to defile their minds, to have them believe a lie. The magician, Satan, is still casting his spells. God, cast his spells down to the ground and then raise up people that can see, hear, and believe the word of God and grow by the engrafted word being imparted to them. God, we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is Richard Hinton talking about this is your time.
In the day we're living in now. And God brought you out on the wheel of time for such a time as this. Let us go to the word of God briefly. In the 118th Psalm, a very familiar passage of scripture, the 24th verse, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. 25th verse, say now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. And when we speak of prosperity, we're not speaking of prosperity. Just everybody getting rich and finding the biggest car and the plane to drive. But prosperity for the kingdom. To get the kingdom work done and get these souls in before Jesus come. I want you to catch your neighbor by the hand. Look them in the face, eyeball to eyeball contact. Look at them like you're looking at me. And I want you to look them in the face and tell them, neighbor, our time has come. There's a great responsibility that's resting upon the people of God. If it's to be done, it's got to be done by the people of God. I'm talking about prayed up ones. I was preaching on Tuesday night and I said, if you will notice, check out the ministry of Jesus. If you notice, the ministry of Jesus came preaching deliverance. The Spirit of the Lord, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he said, for this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now Jesus stood and read that. And when he read that, they didn't know. And they looked at him. He said, for this day is the scripture. And the rabbis and Pharisees and whatnot were saying, did you hear that? They got so angry till they were going to carry him over the brow and throw him headlong. The Bible said headlong on his head off the cliff. Just because he read that, because the scriptures were fulfilled that day. His ministry was to heal the brokenhearted. That's deliverance. Preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty. Then there are bruises. The Bible said God anointed Jesus, which was full of the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He chose 12 disciples, follow me. And he gave them a 3.5 years crash course on deliverance. When they saw him, he was either healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out devils. I mean, a water walking Jesus, working miracles that could not be denied. Then when Jesus died and got up, he led them out as far as Bethany.
preached his farewell sermon to the 500 and told them, postpone your engagements, cancel your appointments. Don't run no revivals now, but go up in the city of Jerusalem. You all know the story. And tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Well, they went. In actuality, it was really 500 at his ascension. And I believe it was the 500 that went up in the upper room. But when the Holy Ghost fell, it was just 120. And the reason why it was only 120, because the Holy Ghost didn't fall until the 10th day. Now, Peter got a revelation. The revelation that Peter got, God didn't really give him that revelation. He just felt, well, something is wrong. They didn't have cell phones in that day, but some felt, look, if anything happened, Doc, you get in touch with me because I got to go and see about my work and my business. But if anything comes, you let me know. So it ended up 120, even though it was 500 at his ascension, that was to go into the upper room. Well, the reason why, now Peter got a revelation. And the revelation that Peter got was, listen, Judas went out and hanged himself. And someone has to take his bishopric. And so he says, now there's only 11 apostles and God's getting ready to establish his church. Now this was Peter talking. And he wanted to establish on 12 pillars. And there's only 11. So then the Bible said they cast lots. The Bible didn't say God was behind it, but they began to cast lots. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Which way shall we go? There were two men, one by the name of Justice and the other named Matthias. And so they voted. The reason why I know God wasn't in that, because he didn't vote to get the rest of them. He didn't vote to get the 12 that he chose. Now, why are you going to cast lots and vote eeny, meeny, miny, moe? But you see, there were times Peter got revelations from God, and there were times he got his own revelations. And so, consequently, they chose Justice, which they did Matthias. They chose Matthias, rather, because Justice sounded a little close to Judas. And we don't want no more Judases around here, praise the Lord. So they chose Matthias. Now, if you notice, the Holy Ghost still didn't come. Peter thought, like, and I preached too, honey, the Holy Ghost didn't come. They wasn't on one accord. Hallelujah. They had to be on one accord. No, that wasn't the reason. They could have been on one accord. They could have been hanging from the cord. They could have been wrapped up in the cord and tied up in the cord. The Holy Ghost was not going to come until the 10th day. He tabernacled and modeled his glorified body for 40 days and ascended up on high. 40 and 10 is 50. And the word Pentecost means 50. It wasn't going to come until the 10th day, which was the 50th day after his resurrection. And when the Holy Ghost came, listen, it wasn't that, and that's why a lot of them missed it. Because they just knew whenever it was going to happen, you come and call me. But there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing of a mighty wind. And it set up on each of them. That's what I love about the Holy Ghost. It gets where you set. And it'll set on you as sure as God live. And the Holy Ghost fell. Now, if you notice, when Jesus left, we're still following the track now. After Jesus left, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. When he left and the Holy Ghost came, everything, the same pattern that Jesus had in getting folks delivered was done through the Holy Ghost. And the apostles went that same route. But have you noticed, you can see where the church world, I'm not speaking of everybody, have really gotten off. They've gotten off. They have taken, sometimes I look at television and I have to turn it off. And I'm not talking about a worldly stuff, but I'm talking about folk that's representing Jesus. It's so much carnality. and they'll use entertainment to take the place of the anointing. Entertainment cannot take the place of God's anointing. God never did intend for his church to be a show. But where the power of God can come and people can be delivered and rejoice. When I saw, my God, these men, you know, that's a rare thing when you see a lot of men getting happy. Of men are macho. And ain't nobody supposed to shout but the women. Because I'm a man. M-A-N, represent man. I'm here to tell you, bless God, to see these brethren shouting, giving them to know, because the attitude has been taken, church is just for woman. I beg to differ with you. Church is for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I'm here to tell you, God is getting ready to close the show. He's getting ready to close the show. We have come to the end. And you know, everything gets crucial at the end. The end of a game, the end of everything. It gets crucial. Because if you notice, just like in sports, everything is a competition. They are to win. Team A is trying to outdo Team B. In boxing, one opponent outdoing the other. Even when they're doing tennis, you look at tennis, you see this. One is trying to take out the other. And the same way in Christendom, the devil is still, even though you are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, that with the burning fire and got the gifts operating in your life, Satan want to take you out the game. But you can't let him do it. You've got to realize that greater he that is in you. And if anybody is to carry this ball, it's going to be the Christians. Now, I know this may not make you shout, but listen. It amazes me how you've got ministries that have opened the door and condoned and ordained gay ministers. Gay ministries. Are you listening to me? Look like somebody ought to know better in Christendom. Huh? And you would feel, as big as many places are, that something in them ought to take a stand against it. But they're looking the other way because they're being supported by the government and other things, and they know that if they blame, their money gonna be cut off. But I'm here to tell you, you're gonna answer to God. Hallelujah. Wrong is still wrong. And people need to know that. And the way the enemy has done the gospels today is so watered down. It's so watered down. I'm listening to broadcasters and haven't even heard the name Jesus. They'll say God. Because see, God, if you're getting your God mixed up with Buddha God, you're still on target. But when you say Jesus, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, of things in heaven and of things in the earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, God's gonna never be like a witness. And I just came to tell you, I got a word from the Lord. God is turning this thing around. He's not just using anything and everybody, but those that standing up for him, that know that. See, people think holiness is a denomination. Holiness is a lifestyle. Holiness is God's genuine nature that has been planted in those who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. People think, oh, you belong to the holy church. If a church is a church at all, it should be holy. If not, somebody need to go and come again. Am I right? I preach to people that sanctification is not a denomination. Sanctification, I tell folks, I say, you believe in sanctification from the natural standpoint. Well, how do you mean I believe in sanctification from the natural standpoint? That's because if you didn't, well, nobody would want to sit next to you. We're stinkers by nature. If you don't believe it, just go to the hospital and stay in the hospital bed for 3 days. You've been in the hospital, in the bed, but they'll come and bathe you. Are you listening to me? You haven't been running track. You haven't been running down the hall, but they'll come and bathe you. Are you listening? If we wasn't stinkers by nature, we wouldn't use deodorant, body powder, cologne, mouthwash, toothpaste. Am I right? Amen. Now, I know I'm talking to people. I ain't talking to no angels in here. And see, the angels there don't have that problem, but as sure as God lives, every one of us, and if you notice, you believe in sanctification from the natural standpoint, because when you take off your garments to take a shower, it's not the same dress or the same suit. Those undergarments you will take off and throw them downstairs by the washing machine to be washed. And you get the clean clothes that's in the drawer. You don't put the dirty clothes with the clean clothes, am I right? You separate the clean clothes from the dirty clothes. Huh? And then when you get ready to eat, sometimes I know every one of us, I know you should wash your dishes, but some of us have left dirty dishes in the sink. But if those dishes are dirty, you don't grab that dirty plate that you ate spaghetti or macaroni the other night and it's all dried up and say, well, it's my macaroni. You gotta eat dirt before you die. And you go to eating out of that, no, you sanctify it. You run the hot water on it, scald it, and get that dirt off that. You don't want to hear me. Huh? Now, you know what you've just done? You have sanctified that plate. And then, have you ever noticed it's a psychological thing that when your car is dirty and you go and get it washed, have you noticed psychologically it runs better? If nobody else, it runs better to you because it's clean. And you know when you're clean, you're just clean. Am I right? When you know you took a shower, I'm going somewhere with this. When you took a shower and have cleaned yourself, you just feel, oh my God, you can even sleep better. Am I right? Something wrong, you don't change your socks and take them off and they stand up like boots. Y'all ain't ready for me tonight. Huh? Thank God. Same pajamas, just sweat it out and same, you know, and got the dirty and hum over all of that. No, it's something about you that believe in being clean, naturally so. All right, let's take it over into holiness. Let's take that spirit man. Let's take that inner man. God said, what? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he dwells in you, and he walks up and down in you, and he abides in you. And if I was you and if you were me, you don't want God in no dirty temple. Come on in, God. I ain't had a chance to clean, but that's all right. Just throw everything out the chair there. Amen. Sit there. We're going to eat on the table. Dead flies, blood. You just push them all off the table. There, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, you don't do that. You don't do that to your guests. And you don't do that to God. When you're clean, Man, you ready for service. When you clean, God said, I'm not going to dwell in an unclean temple. But honey, when you're clean, you can tell God what you want. When you're clean, sanctified. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And in the 17th chapter of St. John, he said, I sanctify myself. It's written in the 17th chapter of St. John. I sanctify myself. Jesus said, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified. So we you on target. Don't let nobody tell you. It don't take all that. You know, you're not in church all the time, but I don't have the devil fight young folks. It don't take all of that. You don't need to do all of that. You young. Have your fun. Thank God. No, you don't. You stay where God can use you and get the glory, because he's getting ready to close the show now. And he says, I'm going to cut it short in righteousness. A quick work I'm going to make on the earth. And this is the day. Every one of you that's here, you were born for this time. You were born in this time. If you hadn't been born 150 years ago, most likely you wouldn't be here tonight. But God brought you out on the wheel of time for such a time as this. God has a purpose for your life. You may not know what it is, but it don't mean he don't have no purpose for your life. You know, you got a lot of folks don't know what the Lord want them to do until they get ready to die. Say, Mother Tofu, you know, God gave me a work to do, and I disobeyed him. Honey, but when I get up from the air, watch my smoke. Oh, you know what he wants you to do now, since death is shaking your frame. These are the days, and you see, what church is to us is what school is to people. Let me see this before I go any further. Now, years ago when they would go to school, they had you take up everything. Music, public speaking, they had you take sports, swimming, you know, all of these things you had to take up. Because they wanted the word educate to mean I'm going to go so your teacher can put some sense in your head. I'm going so the teacher can draw out the ability that's in you. Educate means to draw out what's in you. And that's why when you went to school, you didn't make it in the music class. You didn't even know what key you sang in. And some of you couldn't fit the choir at school because you was tone deaf and said, no, they don't fit there. But then they tried you in something else. You majored in geography, or you majored in history, or you majored in English. What they were doing to try, we trying to pull out what's in you. See, years ago, they don't call it now. They've got a good word for everything. But when I was going to school, if you couldn't learn, they had what was called the dummy room. The dummy room. Man, you had big guys in the sitting at their knees, couldn't even get under the desk. In the dummy room. Listen, folks. Because they felt this way. We're trying to bring out something. Are you a public speaker? Are you able to act? Are you a movie star? We trying to bring out, and they found out some folks in school wasn't a brain cell working. So they had to put them in another place. So what I'm trying to say is, just what school is to people naturally is what the church is to us spiritually. Why you come to church? Now, when you first came to this church, you wasn't no preacher. You wasn't no preacher when you first come here. You wasn't no deacon when you first came here. But as you begin to get in the service and the anointing and in the prayer and listening to the word, then God began to speak to your heart, and you felt and heard the call of God. You might have started on the usher board and you're in the pulpit. Huh? Some of you maybe started, now you're a missionary. See, that's what the church does. That's why the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Come on to church. Because the Holy Ghost want to pull out of you that ability that's down in you. Because some of you, if you be honest with yourself, you ain't nothing like you were when you first came here. You couldn't get along with yourself and couldn't nobody else get along with you. But time has brought about a change. Huh? Because he's perfecting us and preparing us for a purpose. And as I forestated, he's delivering you to be a deliverer. If people are going to be delivered, who going to deliver them? The whole hopper? The alcoholic? The drug addict? He can't deliver nobody. If they're delivered, it's got to be somebody, hallelujah, that know God and know how to get a prayer through. Are you listening? And you see, it's something about that anointing. But people don't realize sinners can come right in this service and don't even know God. But there's such an anointing among the people of God that his spirit, amen, that it captivates his spirit. Man, I liked it, that church. I ain't never felt that way before. And do you know I had peace? Oh, I slept last night for the first time, Elton. And do you know I was peaceful at head and ain't touched a cigarette this week? Elton, I ain't even had a desire to drink. Beautiful. Keep coming to church, brother. Keep coming. Because God is working out something. See, a lot of times God don't tell you everything he's doing. He don't tell you everything. In fact, he don't even tell you everything he's doing for you. Sometimes God will just bless your soul and gone and don't tell you nothing. I've known when God have just healed you and didn't even say I've healed you. So you know it. Lord Jesus, when it, do you know? Look at God, honey. God will heal you and go on about his business. Heal my body and told me to run on. This is the kind of God we serve. And because this is our day, and God would have me to tell you as we prepare to conclude that this is your time. Your time has come. Every one of us, let's be honest and tell the truth and stay in the church. Every one of us in here, as much as you shouting and speaking in tongues and rolling like a tumbling weed, there's still something you waiting on God to do. Every one of you got need answers. We ain't talking about you being saved. You're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but there's some things you've been praying about and it haven't come through yet. Huh? Every one of us in here, we're lacking something. If you had all the joy, all the Holy Ghost, all the faith, all the healing, all the anointing, all the power, all the word there is to have, what are you doing here? But the reason why you come, something in you say, tonight may be my night. Hallelujah. Huh? People have been known to be called to preach the gospel in services like these. People have been known to get the call of God on their lives in services like these, where the anointing of God is resting heavy. Are you hearing me? And I just came to tell you, it's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season. And there's nothing you can do to prevent a season. Just sit here during the winter and hope it's spring. You can hope all you want, but when it's the season, it's just the season. And I'm going to tell you something else. When you've reached your season, and he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. God's got a season for every one of us. And when you've hit your season, don't you let no devil in hell, around hell, hinder you from your season. As sure as God lives, And then I'm going to tell you another thing. As people of God, we're more than conquerors. And our weapons are mighty through God. You stop fearing, folks. Say, honey, I believe he's been fixed. Honey, I believe he's fixed. I notice how she looks weird. I notice how she even walks different. Some conjure, some witchcraft stuff. They're trying. Let me tell you something, folks. You walk with God and filled with the Holy Ghost, the devil can't fix you. Huh? I tell my folks in Chicago, I say, don't bring that here. I believe somebody trying to fix me. I said, ain't nothing new but just one thing. There was a song the late Elvis Presley would sing. Return to sender, address unknown. Honey, don't worry about folk trying to fix you. And honey, they're sending spirits at me. They're coming in my room. And I can just feel the unction. Unction nothing. Just tell it, Lord, if somebody's trying to do it, Lord, return it. Turn it back on them. Turn it back on them. And you know, when God turns it back, it acts more worse on them. But I can't help that. That is not my problem. Return to sender. Address unknown. I don't care who the address is. You know who it is. Are you listening to me? You must realize greater he that is within you than he that is in the world. And it's a new season in your life. And when you've hit your season, honey, when the spring hit Chicago, oh God, see, Texas is different. Y'all had a snow years ago. The late S.A. Mitchell said y'all had a snow years ago, 4 inches of snow, and the city had come to a halt. I said, Lord Jesus, y'all need to come to Chicago, man. Ooh. Snow way up to here. Folk don't stop coming to church. Yes, it did. Because, listen, I don't care what the devil say. When you've hit your season, and then I don't care how evil the world is out there. Do you know what God is doing for his church? I mean the real church. I ain't talking about gatherings. He's making his church a greenhouse. Reverend, what is a greenhouse? You remember when you couldn't get watermelon in the winter? You couldn't get cantaloupes in the winter, honeydew melons in the winter. Couldn't get bananas in the winter. So they built some greenhouses. Big greenhouses that keeps that big house at a temperature. It stays at a certain temperature. And it grows summer fruit because it's in the greenhouse. Are you listening? You got places folk can't grow because the house ain't green. They come to church every day and still mean, full of the devil, hateful, quick temper, nervous as a cat, can't sleep and mean as a bear. Evil, my God. I goes to church, but it's not a greenhouse church. Where the atmosphere, honey, atmosphere has a lot to do with walking with God. And see, in the greenhouse, man, when folk can't find it, ain't the season yet. It's the season in the greenhouse. Folk getting healed, we ain't getting healed nowhere else. Folk get delivered in the greenhouse. There's nowhere else because the temperature is right. And that's what you want to do. Keep the temperature going. When I looked and saw these folks rejoicing, man, that's what God loves. I found this out. He inhabits. Do you know it moves God more when you praise him than the angels? Now, I know he created the angels and the angels were created holy. But you move God when you praise him than the angels. But Reverend, why do we move him? What's so much about us? Well, he had Lucifer up there to do the praise until the boogerman got in him. Iniquity was found in him. And so he was cast out of heaven and took a third of heaven with him. So they were wondering, I wonder, God, you're going to make another another. See, there were three angels. There was Michael, or Gabriel, W, word, and Lucifer, W, worship. All three of them, the big three. And when iniquity was found in Lucifer, and there was war in heaven, I don't know how long the war lasts. When I get to heaven, I'm gonna ask them, Lord, what was y'all fighting with? Because you can't kill an angel with a knife. You can't kill him with a 45 or a straight razor, you know, or a gambling gun or a shotgun. You can't kill an angel. And they said there was war in heaven, angels fighting. My God, angels are created holy. They were created for that purpose. Huh? But you was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, wasn't even fit to live and ready to die. Some of the things God saved you from, you ain't told it. And if I was some of you, I would never tell it. Honey, sometimes you got happy and almost told it all. Honey, the Lord saved me. The Lord saved me. Praise the Lord. The Lord saved me from a miserable life of sin. That's good. That's good. Just stop right there. Just stop right there. Just leave it there. Because you know, church folks is different. I ain't talking about y'all. Church folks is different when they won't identify. When they won't identify a preacher or a deacon or somebody. You know the deacon, you know which one. The tall deacon, the tall usher. No, I can't believe. You know the one they caught in the car with so-and-so's wife. Oh, look like we have to. Look like we have to bring out something evil in order for folk to know who you're talking about. But man, I'm so glad the Lord haven't. You know what? If the Lord told all our business, if the Lord said, I tell you what, I saved all y'all from your sins, but I changed my mind. I'm gonna let everybody in here know what everybody has done. Where's the quickest door? There, honey. I'd be the first one out of here. Man, there'd be ambulance, paddy wagons, squad cars. I could hear some of the saints. Peace, beloveds. Peace. Peace. If the Lord told everything about everybody in this church building, I'm so glad. That makes me love God even more. Hallelujah. To know everything about you and still love you, that's enough to shout right there. Oh, you better go away from here. That's enough to praise him. And you know what? He don't put your business in the street. Amen. Yeah, you tell me, yeah, thank the Lord. And I tell you something else too. A lot of things we do when we go through, I'm getting on all of us now. When the Lord healed you, when the Lord delivered you from what you had been going through for years, hallelujah, you give the testimony. And honey, God just, look, he turned my midnight into day. Hey! But you didn't tell him how disgusted you got before your deliverance. You didn't tell him, if you don't shut up, I'm going to hit you with something. You didn't tell him that. You didn't tell him, say it again. I dare you. Don't even let your mouth shake like you're going to say it. You didn't tell him that. Oh, you tell the honey, I was like David, I waited. Yes, you did. You didn't tell how you acted. Glory to God. But it's a new season. It's a new day. God has raised this place up as a greenhouse. Things will grow here that don't grow nowhere else. You can't just preach any old kind of gospel. See, and here's what's happening today. Anytime somebody come to my church and sit there in the front, I like Reverend Henderson. He don't meddle. and you got a wife to your left and a girlfriend to your right. And because you believe in the down low, you got a man friend behind you. And you've been going to that church for years and ain't nothing been said to convict you or to hit on nothing. I get so sick sometimes out of here. The Lord loves you. Amen. And you're going to fall. That's okay. The Lord, you're God's child. Oh, I have to turn it off because something in me just boils. You see, when you're from the old school. I stopped them from singing. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. No, I'm Caleb. Caleb was in the wilderness. He was in Egypt, and he was in the promised land. And he stood with Joshua. And God said, Richard, I've let you live because the devil tried to kill me since I've seen y'all, you know. Devil tried to take me out. Oh, he'll try to take you out the game. He tried to take me out. But I was too hungry to die. Because God wasn't through with me. And he said, Richard, I raised you up as a Caleb. And a Caleb, he says, he stands for two periods. Two periods. The wilderness and the promised land. The Moses and the Joshua. See? And see, when they go to say, we fall down, and the Lord knows, he knows your heart. Yes, you're going to fall down, and you're going to keep falling. Sometimes you don't get up. You may not feel like getting up, but that's okay. No. I'm from the old school. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah. And present you thoughtless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Are you listening to me? And now you've got that spirit. Well, you know, we've got to reach the young people. We got the young, and I mean, they're hip hopping. I told them, you hip your hops out of here. Hop your hips out of here. Come on, hip hop. And got to bring all of that beat and worldly stuff to win you. No, sir. You got to keep the standard. Let them call you old fogey. Keep the standard. Amen. And then if you're not careful, what wrecks a lot of churches is when they look over the television. So-and-so members do it, and he got 8,000 members. He got 10,000 members. Look what his organist got on when he played. Look the hat that he wear when he played the drums. And look like something in the world. We're not to pattern ourselves after them. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. You don't want them to win you. You want to win them. Well, let the people come, young people, and let them do their thing. I'd rather them do their thing here in the church than to do it out there. No, I'd rather you stay out there until you come in to get right. There's a standard we've got to keep. And the church world is letting down the standard. Are you listening to me? Amen. And so we've got to realize it's a new day. And it's a price tag that go with standing up for holiness. That's a price tag. Oh, it don't take all of that. It takes more than what I'm doing in order to stand. I'm just about through. Amen. Thank God. I'll be through before tomorrow night. Watch what I say. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's nothing you can do to prevent a day. You can write that down. It's a new season, number one. It's a new day. It's a new day. When you speak of a day, you speak of a 12-hour period. So Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? When you speak of a day, you speak of a 24-hour period. And the evening and the morning was the first day. If you notice, they never tell you, when is my furniture coming? Give us five sleeping nights. They don't say that. 5 working days. Everything revolves around a day. Then, when you speak of a day, you're also speaking of an era, a dispensation, a time period. And we've entered into a new day. This is the day, not the 24 hour. This is the day, just like years ago, the Bible said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Well, if that was prophesied by Joel, and then over 2,000 years ago, the prophecy was fulfilled. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that it shall come in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit. Then if those were the last days back there, when that prophecy was fulfilled, what are these days we living in now? They are the last of the last days. And because we're living in the last days, there are things God is going to do that he wouldn't do ordinarily. But he's going to do it through people. And you happen to be here in this day. Hallelujah. And that's why, as people of God, we've got to be delivered enough to deliver others. It grieves God. I ain't talking about y'all. But it grieves God when you come to church and, child, I beat the devil, honey. I like to not got here. And it's all I could do was make it. Oh, honey, the devil is busy. He didn't ask you to be the devil's campaign manager. Stop. And then go get up and testify. Pray the Lord, beloved, I thank the Lord. Hey, the Lord, I'm that devil's boss. Hey, now quit. Hallelujah. God says, I'm making you, I'm delivering you so you can be a deliverer. Huh? And that's why he's restoring that spirit back into the church. This generation don't know what mothers were in the church. Right. We had a few young people that was calling certain ones mothers. They was old enough to be there. He walked like a mother. And they got to saying, don't call, I ain't no mother. You old enough to be one? My Lord. They don't want to be called mother. What you looking for? I can tell how old you are the way you get out the car. See, young folks step out the car. When we get old, we back out. Huh? How y'all getting along out there? There are people that need deliverance. And I don't care what people come in, how messed up they are. If they need deliverance, and I'm preaching, I'm not going to stop my preaching to just get one alcoholic, hey, I want to be saved, and go hold up a whole service, and after they pray and then kill the service, I think I changed my mind. No. Mm-mm. Carry him in the prayer room and let the service go on. And man, when their mothers get through, you think they beating them. Wow! Oh, yes! Wow! Give up! Hold on! Let go! When they get through with him and bring him out. All right, what did the Lord do for you? Oh, thank the Lord. He saved me. He sobered me. And he sanctified me. And he's going to feel you. Don't say you feel now. You ain't feel yet, baby. You remember years ago when people said they were feel? Man, that was the ultimate. Said, honey, guess who came through last night? Said, no, Sister Culpepper. She came through so beautiful. Said, honey, she was out. We had to take her home. And so I called my husband. Said, baby, I know you work at night and everything. Would you forgive me if I didn't fix your lunch? Sister Picard Pepper, you're still under the power. We're taking her home. She's out. We're changing, we're dressing her for bed. She's still under the power, speaking in tongues. You don't hear that now. You don't hear that now. One man came to our church. All right, all you that want the Holy Ghost, just stand right, line up right here. Line up, all right. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, don't speak English. A one. Do you hear me? A one. Two. Listen, the Holy Ghost will speak for itself. But when people were filled years ago, they were filled in debt. They were drunk, still under the power. I don't understand these people getting filled today. They get filled, knocking over chairs, get filled, fighting for, and then got the nerve after church. Where y'all going to eat tonight? I don't understand it. Sometimes they'd be out under the power. They have to pick them up. I mean, when they really got filled. And that was like the ultimate when people get filled. Now you got everything. Yes, sir. You got sectarian for, yes, sir, I got the Holy Ghost. When I come to church, I got the Holy Ghost. But as a preacher, I got the Holy Ghost. Oh, it don't even sound right. God said he's going to make this thing right. And those of you, you better be glad you got what you got, when you got it, and the way you got it. Don't you be changed by folks that's like cars on assembly line. All right, all of you that want the Holy Ghost, cars on assembly line. We had 50 folk to get filled with the Holy Ghost in one night. Where are they? I don't know. Listen, there's a change that takes place. Are you listening? A fresh anointing. I'm not going to finish this message, but a fresh anointing is coming your way. A fresh. Well, all that anointing is fresh, I know, but there come a time you need a new anointing. Even gifts brings about a new anointing. A new prayer life brings about a new anointing. A new debt brings about a new anointing. The day has come, the anointing has to be great. The anointing has to be heavy upon the people of God. The day has come. His spirit must rest upon you. And kingdom work is not just getting folks delivered in the church. Some people are so powerful in the church. And when they get at the workplace, they just is like a church mouse. I was like Jesus. I didn't say a mumbling word. You don't say nothing at the wrong time, baby. That's the time to really speak. And God wants to use you outside of your church. See, here's what happens. Gifts begin to grow in the church. I can't do nothing here. I can't do nothing in full gospel, holy temple. They won't give me no room. They don't give me no break. Well, now listen, a church of this magnitude, they can't put no amateurs up. And a church with these folk that have been through hell all through week, and they're going to put you up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't y'all say amen? Amen. You ain't saying nothing. When people have been through, they have to put their best foot forward in this service. Well, they don't give me no chance. You don't have a chance. You want a chance? Go out there and preach on the street. You want a chance? Go out there and lay hands on somebody and tell them God can deliver them and bring them here. That's kingdom work. I can't do nothing here. They got a president of the choir. I can't do nothing. They got president, ministers, board. I can't be the president there. They got president of the I don't. Who told you you had to be the president of anything in order for God to use you? Hallelujah. All you do is just put yourself in the way and man go to praying. And folks, there's so many folks you pass before you get to church. So many folk in your neighborhood that you can touch. There's some of you, he's given you the spirit of consolation. There's some people that just know how to talk. Some people know how to talk to people. And they look for you to give them a word. You know? And he has given you words of wisdom. You may not have to be in the pulpit to say that, but he's given you words of wisdom that people that need help outside the church, before they get to church and while they're in church. Sometimes folk, all they need from you is a smile. You did come, didn't you? I've been praying for you. Are you listening to me? You'd be surprised what people are going through. Everybody's not going to tell you what they're going through. Everybody's not going to tell you they're going to wear a smile. They're going to be happy. But a fresh anointing is coming your way. A season of power. Prosperity too. And when I say prosperity, God is not just trying to make everybody rich. Someone asked one of my members, how's your pastor doing? She said, fine. What is he driving now? She said, a car. Don't judge success by natural stuff. You brought nothing into this world, and you can't carry nothing out. Huh? And if you notice, when Jesus left the words to the disciples, it was spiritual things. Heal the sick, getting folks delivered. And watch what I tell you. This thing is getting so tough now, they're going to start seeking. They've already begun seeking full gospel churches. When they get through shouting and tap dancing and getting over, and some folk don't know how to act, they get a chance over television. And instead of them just getting up there, now you know you too fat to wear that type of dress. You look like a ham in a sack. You ought to put on a robe, baby, and get up there on television and just twisting and shaking it around. You embarrass God. You embarrass the gospel. You embarrass what holiness stands for. Huh? And then expect the folk, get with it. Come on, Chad. Let's get it. The knees looking like the North Pole trying to reach the South Pole. Come on here. Y'all ain't ready for me. Y'all didn't know y'all gonna get there, did you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know y'all looking for me to, y'all looking for me to squall, ain't you? All right, I'll squall. Now. But a fresh anointing is coming your way. Are you listening? God says, I'm a work ikobohosha. God said, I'm a work in your day. A work that you wouldn't believe, though it be told you. Some of you sitting here, you would be surprised if you knew what the Lord has been talking over. Hallelujah. Jesus and God's been talking over about you. Hallelujah. Listen, the thoughts I have of you have been good. Amen. I'm bringing you to an expected end. And you'd be surprised how you have been discussed before God the Father and the Son. Do you hear me? And I'm here to tell you that a new season has come and prosperity is coming your way. Not to make you rich, but to make you your maximum for God. I don't listen if the Lord bless you with a house. Before he do it, now Lord, thank you. But now where do you fit in here? Thank you for blessing me with it. Now in all my ways, if I acknowledge you, you'll direct my path. Thank you for this house. Where do you fit in here? Thank you for this car. I'm grateful for it, Lord. Now where do you fit in here? Everything he bless you with, acknowledge him. Hallelujah. And he will. Some folk got great big houses, walk-in closets. Amen. Is there a spot you got in the house where you can just get alone with God and say, no, we don't have that. We got boxes and bundles in that particular closet. In all your ways, make room for him. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Now, I don't mean if you got a kitchen that just one room. I'm not talking about that. Amen. Where you have to pull the bed out the wall. You ain't got a room. But I'm talking about people blessed you with a big house and ain't got room where you could just, this is my steal away. This is my prayer closet. This is my prayer chamber. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct thy paths. When I first began to pastor, I began to really get disturbed about the gifts, because there were people in the congregation that had gifts. I didn't want to fight the gifts, you know, but I didn't want gifts to become confusing, you know. And I tell you, sometimes these things can happen. Off-season prophecies, homemade prophecies. I'm talking about my chair. I ain't said nothing about what and everything. And I said, Lord, these gifts, and the Lord told me, don't fight them. They're for the perfecting of the saints. But anybody that's got any type of gift, it works under your leader. Anytime you go anywhere, the Lord has given me a work. You to see your leader and get his blessings. Amen. Get his blessings, and God will honor that. But people have gone because of discouragement. Honey, they don't know I'm gone. I'm going to start a work. I need a church mother. You want to be my church mother? And people will run just to get a position. Ain't but two folks sitting in there. I'm the mother of Mount New Beginning. I'm the mother of Mount Deep Freeze. So you got people that'll leave just to get a position. Hey, don't leave without the blessings of your leader. Jacob's father had the blessing before he left. Am I right? And that's what happens. You're in line to be blessed. He's getting ready to close the show. I'm going to finish the work and I'm going to cut it short in righteousness. And he's going to do a quick work. But that's going to be anointing. That's going to hit God's people. It's going to be an overnight thing. It's going to happen so until you figure, oh, this could happen a long time ago. No, it couldn't, because it wasn't the season.